we were going to be talking about very practical honor, you know, honoring government, honoring civil authority, honoring our employers and being honorable employers, those sorts of things. That's not to say we're not going to talk about those things. It's just to say that at 2:22 this morning, I woke up having desperately to go to the restroom. And so as I was doing that, you laugh like you've never happened to you or something. You're like, we all do this. And I woke up and it was 2:22. Anybody know why that's significant? Why? 2:22 team. Good. Thank you. Yes, the team that leads transformation here in Cornerstone, team that I'm on, that Matt's on, it's called 11 and 2:22 team. And it's based out of Mark 2:22, where Jesus says, who of you, if you get new wine, do you try and put the new wine into a new wine or into an old wineskin? New wineskins are for new wine. And so the 2:22 team, the whole purpose of transformation, the whole goal of transformation is to be this bringer of a new wineskin, right? We believe that God is doing new things and beautiful things in our culture and in our world and in our city in Lebanon. And so we need new wineskins to put the wine in. So the question is what are those wineskins? And the number one thing that right now we're hearing about as a wineskin is a reclamation of worship. Is a reclaiming of the priority, the intensity, and the object of worship. So that's where my waking up at 2:22 drew my mind that direction. Right, so I woke up at 2:22. I woke up again at 4 something. I'm not really sure why, and then actually got up when I was supposed to. And started thinking on this thing, just feeling in my spirit, sort of like, I wonder if I'm really going to teach on 1 Peter 2 today or if God's going to continue maybe to shift some things around. So I'm in my office and I'm printing out the notes for the sermon that I was going to bring that I'll probably bring next week now. And as I was sitting there printing out these things, my friend Calvin walks up. Calvin's been here before. Calvin Greiner is a prayer walker. That's his anointing. That's his calling. Calvin has walked pretty much like the entire state of Pennsylvania. He walked from Philly to Pittsburgh. He walked from Lebanon to Hershey. He's going to walk from Myerstown to Reading. He's walked from here down to Delaware somewhere. And the whole time he walks, he prays and God speaks to him. And, anyway, when Calvin shows up, he always brings something from God with him. A good word, a encouragement, something from the Lord. And this morning he came to the office, got there about 8 o'clock, and walked up and I thought to myself, maybe we are going to be shifting some things around. Here's Calvin. And so Calvin came in and he came in here to pray first. And then he came back and he told me about some things that God had been saying to him. And we talked about a dream that he had had, but particularly on his last prayer walk, he had an experience with a truck. So, Calvin, I'd actually, if you wouldn't mind sharing the story about the truck and the whole CFI thing, I would appreciate that. Can you come up and join me? And for that matter, you can say anything else you want to that God lays on your heart. Send that to Calvin, because it's interesting. God gave him an experience, and I wanted to share with us what God said.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Lord, thank you for your love. Just pray that the words that you would speak to me would be strong, clear, and they would connect with our hearts. Thank you for this ministry, for what you're saying and what you're doing. Amen. Yes, thank you for that honor. I appreciate that. Briefly, I love it here. I enjoy this ministry because God lives here. Amen. God enjoys this church. God enjoys this ministry. Amen. He loves you. He's your dad. So as Pastor and I have connected, not weekly, but lately it's been more readily, I carry love in my heart because those that God has connected me with, those that I know love me, that I love, there's a union, there's a oneness. So I was, I walked so many places. I was walking, where was I? Oh, this time I was walking from Allentown to Carbondale. It's about 115 miles. And Jay had prayed for me in previous walks from here to Myerstown and here to Hershey. Just the blessing. And I got a 4:22 this morning. Wow, 4:22. I wake up 4:22. So anyway, as I was praying on my walk, I had promised Jay, as the Lord would speak to me, I would listen carefully, and if there'd be something that I felt was important, I would release back to him. So I'm walking cars and trucks and animals, and I see so many things. I just had that sense as I was praying. Yes, Lord, what about Jay and the ministry, the cornerstone, and what about some of the things that you have put in their hearts? What is up? And a truck drove by, big truck, and it had CFI, which I don't know what CFI means to the truck driver, but God said, created for intimacy. I said, that's it. I was just praying. So as odd as it may sound, I believe the foremost ministry for us in Cornerstone is developing such a passion and a love and a desire to do what he said. We were created for his pleasure. And when you or me or anyone tastes of that passion or that love, it changes you forever. God has changed me forever. I am a long way from where I should be, but thank God I've tasted of his love. So I appreciate those short words that God has put in my heart for this ministry. And there's many other things. The dream, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. But sometime this morning, God gave a very powerful dream to me, and I won't go into that. But it was in this church. I was in your balcony, which I can't see, and some very strategic things I believe were spoken to me, and I released them to your pastor. We're praying, what's it all mean? How does it all pan out? Amen. But I believe what I saw and what God is showing us will come to pass. I believe it will come to pass. I believe God will finish what he started. I believe he is working right now in details, and he is finishing his dream. His dream is to have a lovesick church. His dream is to have people, sons and daughters that will love him, that will, with zeal and wisdom, love him and love others. So CFI, amen, you and I were created. We were created for intimacy. Created to love him and be loved. Amen.
Yeah, so I had a rough week. How many of you had a rough week? Yeah, I had a rough week too. I don't know, just a lot of stuff that came up. It was like busyness just got heaped on top of busyness on top of busyness, and it was just it was a crazy just chain of events that worked itself out down through the whole week. To I don't know, I was really ornery at home. You know what I mean? Like I was a real jerk at some points at home this past week, and in the midst of all of that, you know, my wife graciously keeps calling me out in the way that only she can, which is really good and life-giving at the same time that it's deeply offensive because I'm such a dork, you know. And I just could not figure out why the week seemed so hard. And then this morning, again, this is right around the 2:22 time when I just felt sort of like heavy. And I wasn't looking forward to today's sermon. You know, I was just sort of like, I hope I don't just suck and that people can leave still liking me a little bit. That was just sort of like a perspective I had. I was just like, man, why do I feel like this? You know, why do I feel like this? And why the heaviness? Why the difficulty in the week coming up to it? And then I remembered what the coming week was bringing. And then Calvin showed up with this whole created for intimacy thing. And then God took me quickly to 2 Chronicles 20, which I just want to read the story of what happened here, and then I'll tell you why it all fits together. Dwayne, can you bring some of the lights up on the congregation, please? All right, so just to give you some quick background on 2 Chronicles 20, It's Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Israel. And he's about to lose his entire nation, right? I mean, he's about to get waxed. And so is everybody else. Because three nations have joined forces and are coming against him and his people. And there's no realistic way that the nation of Israel is going to make it out of this. The level of might that's coming against them is just, it's not even worth fighting. It's just, it's that difficult. There's that much that's going to happen. And so Jehoshaphat brings all the people together and he declares a fast, and then he stands before the people in verse 5, and he says, verse 6, he prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple for you. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, disease, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now we see the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." This big army is coming against Israel, and the king, in typical, like, good leader fashion, stands up and says, "I don't have a clue, folks. Not sure what's going to happen." You know, none of us would appreciate the president saying that. You know, 9/11 hits and George Bush gets on TV and goes, "Sorry, I'm not really sure what we should do." Right? The comparisons are not extreme. Jehoshaphat stands up in front of all the people and says, "I don't have a clue. Not only do I not have a clue, but we're powerless. We have an army, but we apparently aren't very good. Because we're powerless. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And so then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man standing in the congregation, and the man says, "You don't need to worry, because God is going to fight for us, and we're not even going to have to raise a sword, because God is going to get our back. God is coming. God is coming to rescue." So, verse 18, King Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground for as far as they could see. I mean, it's not like the armies from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir got scared at the fact that another army was coming against them. The people worshipped. The army of the Lord wasn't even there yet. I mean, they're just sort of walking that direction. But they worshipped and they believed. And God caused a miracle and turned the armies on themselves. And God wrought a complete victory without the nation of Israel raising a fist, without the nation of Israel raising a sword. Because that's just how God works. The phrase that, all right, so this morning, not sure what's going on, Calvin shows up, CFI created for intimacy. This whole week, all I did was work. To be completely honest with you, I think I might have spent like maybe 20 or 30 minutes with Jesus, with just me and him, in the course of this past week. And which has nothing to do with anything. It's not like, oh, I'm a pastor, so I just spend more time with Jesus than you do. You know what I mean? I'm just a son that happened to ignore Dad all week. and the whole week I'm getting more and more frustrated. You know, the whole week I'm like, oh, Why does this stuff keep happening? What is going on? And the whole week, it's like Jesus was there saying, hello, hello. And now here I'm freaking out over Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. When what I needed to do was to just release. Folks, this week, this coming week is a big week in Lebanon. And it's a big week in the life of Cornerstone. There are two key meetings taking place tomorrow night and Tuesday afternoon here at Cornerstone. Tomorrow night with a group from the Church of the Brethren. Cornerstone's a Church of the Brethren church. We were planted by Church of the Brethren. We're part of the Church of the Brethren. And we are currently being asked about what our role in the Church of the Brethren and leading the Church of the Brethren in a new direction might look like. Tomorrow night's a big deal. Tuesday afternoon, we'll be having a meeting here with the Regional Church of Lancaster County to talk about a lot of things that are going on in Lebanon. And what we do know for sure is that the connection between Lebanon and Lancaster County is key to whatever it is God wants to do in Lancaster and to whatever it is that God wants to do in Lebanon. And it's time for Lebanon and Lancaster to stop ignoring each other and living separate lives and instead return to where it is that we were meant to be, which is no county lines dividing us and connected through the roads and the highways that God designed for us to have. It's time for Lebanon to lose the chip on its shoulder toward Lancaster, and it's time for Lancaster to stop judging Lebanon. You know, these things need to happen. These things need to happen, and God's bringing some key things this week that I think are causing us to need to stop. And I think that my life this past week was a prophetic picture of CFI, of Created for Intimacy, that if we go into this week or if we go into any situation, any warfare situation at all, and if we don't worship first, if we don't understand that spiritual warfare is way more about presence than it is power, then we will lose. Then we will lose. And so what I think God spoke this morning and through Calvin then, as we readjusted things and thought about what the morning might look like, was this key phrase, worship before warfare. Worship before warfare. And so I just started to personally begin to engage the scriptures in a worshipful way. And I wanted to take you to the places that God took me just to show you what he laid out. And you'll see why we're going to continue in the service in the way that we are, both through song and through prayer. So turn to Psalm 84, which is the first place that I was drawn. Psalm 84 is, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. I long, yes, I even faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home there, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. How happy are those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Happy are those who are strong in the Lord, who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs, where pools of blessing collect after the rains. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God Almighty, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Israel. O God, look with favor upon the King, our protector. Have mercy on the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our light and protector. He gives us grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. O Lord Almighty, happy are those who trust in you. And you can hear the words to, better is one day in that psalm, because it's directly drawn from there. That thought, though, about my heart and my flesh crying out for God, that we love our lives here, and we love everything that we have here, but it compares not at all with one day in the courts of God. And we tend to think of that in terms of heaven. The only thing is, I don't think that David was thinking in terms of heaven. I think he was thinking in terms of temple. I think he was thinking in terms of he wanted to be where God's presence was. He wanted to be where, and one moment there is better than a moment anywhere else. And that's the beauty of the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 16 was next place. Because I had Skillet's Ardent Worship on while this was playing. And it was funny. And while I was studying this stuff, Skillet's playing in the background, the dude just stops in the middle of this and starts to read from 1 Chronicles 16. So I was like, well, there you go. Where do I go after Psalm 84? Obviously, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his miracles. Exalt in his holy name. O worshipers of the Lord, rejoice. Search for the Lord and for his strength and keep on searching. Search for the Lord and for his strength and keep on searching. Think of the wonderful things he has done, the miracles and the judgments he handed down. O children of Israel, God's servant, O descendants of Jacob, God's chosen one. Think of the wonderful works he has done. Search for the Lord and keep searching. Keep searching because there's always more to find. Worship before you war. And then go to Isaiah 54. Because then my thoughts turn to Lebanon and to what it is that God wants to do in Lebanon and transformation in Lebanon and through Lebanon and whatever Cornerstone's role might be in that. And Isaiah 54, verse 11. O storm-battered city, troubled and desolate, I will rebuild you on a foundation of sapphires and make the walls of your houses from precious jewels. I will make your towers of sparkling. Ouch. I will make your towers of sparkling rubies and your gates and walls of shining gems. I will teach all your citizens and their prosperity will be great. You will live under a government that is just and fair. Your enemies will stay far away. You will live in peace. Terror will not come near. If any nation comes to fight you, it will not be because I sent them to punish you. Your enemies will always be defeated because I am on your side. I have created the blacksmith who fans the coals beneath the forge and makes the weapons of destruction, and I have created the armies that destroy. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will prosper. And everyone who tells lies in court will be brought to justice. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. And the enemy has Lebanon dead in his sights, you know, desiring to come against it. And we claim the promises of God that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I love it when God says, look, I made the blacksmith. I made the fan that he uses to stoke the flame that you feel. I made him with the skill to make the weapons of destruction. And furthermore, when they come against you, it's not because I'm judging you. It's because I want to show you something. I want to show you that those weapons don't prosper. Not when I'm there. That no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is all based in who our God is, which is why we worship before we war. And that actually what we find out is that as we worship, God wars and battles are done. And we arrive on the scene like all ready to go. And it's sort of like God is just, here's your victory. Here it is. I've already taken care of it for you. You know, and we forget that. We forget that so often. And I forget that so quickly in the course of my last week. And so all that I want us to do now is to join our hearts and our thoughts in prayer and in song and in scripture to declaring what it is that God has done and what it is that he is doing. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this microphone here. If God gives you, while we worship and while we pray,
check.
If God gives you scripture that you want to bring to the body, please just come up here and in a moment of quiet, like be it in between songs or whatever, Kyle will just work this all together out for us. As you get that, feel free to come to the microphone and to deliver that word from God as he lays it on your heart. We're going to pray together in some points, and if you feel a burden to pray, come up to the microphone and pray. And we'll together just spend the rest of this time seeking God's face in prayer and in quiet and in word and in song and we'll worship before we war. So that being said, I felt like God wanted me to lead two songs and then the band's going to take over from there. So, we'll join our hearts. Spirit, come. In the name of God, come. We worship you first. We worship you most. We give you our first love, Father. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you and worship you and believe that you are greater than anything that comes against us. Amen. Any circumstance in our lives, any worry in our hearts, any wonder about the future, you are greater. Any concern that overtakes us, any goodness that comes to us, you are greater. God, you are wonderful. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. You are above all. You are in all. You are through all. We hold together in you. Jesus, we bless you. We bless you.
It's John 3:16. It's personally my favorite. I think it should be everybody's, but there's so many. So John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Because there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And to think that if God never would have sent his Son to save us, then we wouldn't be able to go with him and we'd all go to hell, and he wants us to go home. And it's amazing that he'd give his Son for us and that his Son went through so much. I think that verse means a lot to all of us and that it's one of the most important in this Bible. So real quick, I'm going to pray because I'm so nervous right now and it's a proper way to end it. Dear God, we thank you. I thank you personally for the strength to come up in front of all these wonderful people and say, and I must thank you personally for allowing me to find a church that I actually enjoy going to. And all these wonderful people are here before you, my Lord. So I pray that you protect us all and let us go home eventually. We thank you for Jesus because, well, without him, we wouldn't be able to go home. And we are waiting for you. My Lord, we will let you fight our battles. We hope you will fight our battles for us because they are not worth fighting when you're around. I pray that you reach into everybody to let them see, especially teenagers of my age and of children, that you are the only God for all of us. In your name, in Christ's name, amen.
Yesterday, I had an opportunity to meet up with a lot of people in the city of Lebanon at the Arts and Crafts Festival, and one word that really came to me strongly from God's Word is, "My people perish for lack of vision." And my prayer for this area, for Lebanon and Lancaster, is that God's people would have a vision of Jesus high and lifted up, his train filling the temple, filling the cities, and that they would not perish because of the burden and the anxiety and the sin in their lives as they are now, but they would war with their King Jesus. They would get to know him intimately, and that they would know that is their only hope for winning the battles in their lives. And I just pray that for us today. Father, that we would have your vision, that we would not perish because of the pain and suffering and hardships in our lives, but that we would live victoriously for you, King Jesus. Thank you.
This morning I was talking to the Lord and I was making notes thinking I might have to come up here and talk. I'm going to read you my notes. Adam was created to be in relationship and have fellowship with God. Genesis 2:19 tells us that God brought every beast of the field and all the birds of the air to Adam to see what he would call them. They were spending time together. They were hanging out. I like that CFI, Creative for Intimacy, because that's what the first Wednesday is going to be about, just getting in his presence, Creative for Intimacy. Genesis 3:8 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." We all know what happened. They sinned, and that oneness was lost. They were no longer clothed with the glory of God. But Jesus went to the cross. He redeemed us back from that. Zephaniah 3:16 and 17 says, "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let your hands not be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Zephaniah is talking about God's victory and admiration of his redeemed people. That's us. We are the blood-bought church. We are his people. We are his children. We are his sons and his daughters of the Most High God. And his word says he will rejoice over us with singing. How awesome is that? What a privilege we have to be able to come into the presence of the Holy of the Holies. And we can pour out our love on him and thankfulness and joy. The joy to be in his presence. We need his presence so much. You know, we get so busy. We're so busy doing this. And it's the real thing. It's, you know, it's a fast-paced world we live in, and it is busy. I heard a man on TV say, "Busyness is believers being under Satan's yoke. Busyness is believers being under Satan's yoke." When I heard that, it's a sobering thought, and it's also a terrifying thought. Spiritually, we go from one battle to the next. And then a lot of our prayer time is centered around our needs. And we should be concerned about our needs. And we should bring them to our Heavenly Father because he wants to hear what's on our hearts. But that should not replace our coming into his presence just to have fellowship with him. We need to spend time to him. He's a good and awesome God. We need to tell him that we love him and you're so good to us. We need to say, when we're in his presence like that, we need to say, "Oh, Father God, search our hearts. Is there anything I hid from you? Search me, Lord God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, show me those areas that I don't want to go to. Take me by the hand and help me look at those things and uncover them so I can draw closer to you, so I can be all I can be in you, Lord." That is our prayer. That's my prayer for me, for everyone in this body. Cornerstone can't go where it's going to go if we don't have that fellowship with him and make him number one. We got to be separate from the world and take that time to honor him. The blood of the Lamb is only the beginning. As promised, dominion and destiny will unfold as their priestly duty is fulfilled. True authority is always related to a walk in purity and a constancy in worship. The Spirit of the Lord is essential to all advance of the kingdom. Just as ancient Israel will only take the promised land while doing battle from a foundation of righteous worship before the Lord, so the contemporary church, we will only experience promised power for evangelism and spiritual victories as we prioritize and grow in our worship of the living God. Kingdom power is kept from pollution this way, as kingdom people keep humbly, praisefully before the King and witness his works of power with joy.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." And this phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And Jesus says, I think of those words and the way in which you tell us not to reject your voice. I feel like so often we reject your voice because we fear what your voice is going to say. We fear rejection from you, but we know in your word that you don't reject your kids. And so I just pray that you would open our ears and that we would hear the loving voice of our dad who's calling us home, and that we would hear the loving voice of our lover who's asking us to be his bride, and that we would hear the loving voice of our king who's asking for all of our worship. And Jesus, I just pray that the things in our life that cause us the deepest pain, that we would often begin, rather than running away from them, that we would begin to see them as the greatest acts of grace in our life, and knowing that as you strip those away, that you draw us into deeper intimacy with you, and that it's so, so beautiful, because you leave us left with just you. And there's no better place to be than alone with you and in your presence, and to have all of the things that keep us from you stripped away. And so, Jesus, I just pray that we would embrace that, that we would embrace hearing your voice and knowing that it's good and that it's loving and that it's not seeking to condemn us, but it's seeking to set us free. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would set us free, mostly in our worship.
You know, with that said, with what Judy and Vanessa just said, the Lord wants you to believe that he is the Lord of breaking through. And he's going to break through in this congregation, in this body, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as his children. And if you feel that whatever circumstances you're in, that you're not worthy to come and praise him, you know what? We got to come just as we are to praise him. We got to give him our everything and lay everything at the foot of the cross. He is the Lord of breaking through, and he is going to break through. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 18, it says, be joyful always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you through Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just want to share, you know, last Sunday when he talked about speaking the truth in love, and we were going to have communion, a healing took place between a sister and I. And I'll tell you what, it was listening to his voice, and he said, honor me and set her free. I need to do a work, a mighty work. And he was going to use us, many of us, in this work. I am so glad, and I give him thanks and praise that I was obedient. But with that, the enemy wasn't happy. And he came upon me, and he struck me left and right. Hit my dad, hit my mom, hit me. You know, I developed things on my body that the doctors couldn't even think, you know, what happened. But you know what? The Lord is the Lord of breaking through. And I kept thanking him in these circumstances. And I kept praying without ceasing. Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. It's going to be a tough battle, but we already have victory. Hallelujah.
A while ago, I had the opportunity to be involved in missions overseas, and I had a chance to bring a story of the study of character in the Christian's life. And this brother here bringing the CFI is important, because I looked at the three character studies, and very briefly, created for intimacy. You think of Jonah, realize that God loved Jonah. What did he do? He took off, he ran, he turned his back. God loved him. And even after he was part of vomit from a fish, God brought him in love to do what God wanted him to do. And he did a great work in Nineveh. And we look at Moses, maybe a step up. He called Moses in love to be a part of a loving relationship, because he wanted to accomplish something in Moses for a greater work. What did Moses do? Who are you, God? He challenged God's very identity. Who do I say you are? Who do you think I am, and who do you think I'm going to talk about? What am I supposed to say about you? Who are you? Who do these people think you are, Israel? that I should go before you. You got basically to show me who you are, what you want. Well, you validate all of this. God loved Moses, and even though he got angry with Moses, look what he accomplished. And then I think of a step higher. And this is where I want to be. I'm publicly declaring this, and I hope that all of us will be there. Think of Abraham. God loved Abraham. And he had a purpose to accomplish in Abraham. He says, I'm going to take you from your home and all that you're comfortable with, all that you know, all that you would cling to in your humanness. I'm going to take that away because I love you and I want you to love me. And I want you to be a part of the work that we'll all enjoy. What did Abraham do? Without question, without fear, without turning his back, he stood up early the next day and said, yes, Lord, where do I go? Lead me. What do I do? Here I am, without reservation. And what happened with Jonah? It was Nineveh, because he loved the Ninevites. With Moses, it was his own people, the Israelites. With Abraham, it was a great and mighty nation that he calls his people today, his people Israel. What is it for us? Will it take being Jonah, coming back in love and being part of a loving relationship with God, to have him do what he wants to do with us? More like most of us, will it be Moses? We're fearful. Moses had his problem, maybe with speech, they say. What is our problem that God can't overcome? What are our fears and our excuses that God says, I love you, love me back, and look what we can do? I want to be Abraham. God, here I am. No reservations, no hesitations, no excuses. I love you back. And let's take what that means to the work out there. Amen.
I can feel God's spirit here today. Jesus is here, Jehovah. There are people out there struggling with salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Please ask Jesus Christ into your life today. You can come up front. There'll be people here praying for you, ministering to you. Please say yes today to Jesus.
So through this week, you know, as you walk through your life, let's remember what we learned today, which is we worship first. Worship before warfare, and when you get there, the battle's done.
Amen.
When you get there, the battle's done. I'm going to ask Calvin to come and to close us in prayer, to bless us.
Wow. Lord, thank you, Father. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are God. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We're so thankful. What can we say but thank you? Thank you for your grace, your strength, your peace, your conviction, your comfort, your life. I speak from your throne, the blessing of Jehovah God, and we know we can do this from the Bible. The Lord bless this ministry and keep it. Lord, make your face to shine upon this ministry. Be gracious. Gracious. Lord, lift up your countenance and continue to look with favor upon this ministry. And give us your peace. So in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus the Christ, we declare the abiding blessing will continue throughout all eternity, especially this week, in Jesus' name. Amen.